I'm happy to be here at the podium because that means I'm not studying and in turmoil over what I'm about to say. And I got a lot that the Lord has been working in me, on me, over. And it's reflective in the title of my message this morning called Toxic Thinking. And before we begin, I'd like to show a little video that will whet your appetite. That's the best part. What? Right? So, that sounds the complete opposite of what logic tells you, right? But often, isn't that kind of the voice that's in our head that tells us what to do? In terms of thinking, in terms of our mind, to let it fester and boil inside of you. Let hate be your ally. It's very easy, actually, to let that happen, to listen to that voice. But today we want to talk about how to not do that, right? How to sit back and say, what? And no, right? The mind is easily cluttered, is it not? So many things. Like, I know there's a very common illustration of like a ship going through the ocean, and over time, little things called barnacles attach itself to the bottom of the ship, and it just kind of makes it very heavy. It makes it very ugly at times. It needs to be cleaned. It needs to be washed off. And sometimes our mind can be that way, right? Where so many things begin attaching itself to us and to our mind, and we become very heavy-minded. Very burdened, right? It can be anything. There's so many avenues that our mind can be affected. A better example, a more awkward example, actually, of what happens in our mind sometimes is after, in my mind, I relate it to a pimple. I relate my mind to a pimple because everyone can relate to a pimple, right? Everyone's had a pimple before. And sometimes it just starts as like this little sore spot, right? Or usually it's like right here. And you're like, oh man, I need to not touch that. I need to not pay attention to that. You know, gradually throughout the day, you find yourself subconsciously like checking on it. And you're finding that it's beginning to grow, right? And you might be looking like a unicorn of some kind. The things that weigh in our mind are like a pimple because they just grow and they fester and they just get worse and they build until one day it's just you feel horrible. Anybody relate to that? I would assume so because you're all human. You know, whether it's bitterness, I know that in my life, that has been something that I've had to be before the Lord on, whether it's doubt or loneliness or worry. You know, last week we had a praise and testimony time, and it was just a beautiful time to be here. But looking around the audience, when we were addressing the faithfulness of God, I can see a lot of people just really resonating with the need to hear that. And, you know, every so often you see somebody wiping their eyes, as was I, because the faithfulness of God for us is just so precious that He is there. It's something that we continue to fall back on as believers, and it's, you know, what will we do without it? Even I would say winter. Winter can be tough on the mind, can it not? I mean, making it through the winter without like negativity in your mind, without a struggle. Spring is right around the corner. It's also right around my collar here. I'm trying to encourage the spring flow here with my flowery tie. But it almost seems like it's not going to come, right? It almost seems like the sun is not going to rise. The warmth is not going to be felt. We're going to continue on in this snowiness and this and difficulty. And that's sometimes that's how life is. In Psalm 37 in verse 1, it begins by saying, "Do not fret." Do not fret. And that word fret involves, as an illustration, water or a puddle of water being affected by some outside source. Where if I was to put my finger into the surface of the water, you would immediately see all these ripples go shooting off from where my finger touched. And so the water is affected, it's disturbed. And the psalmist is trying to get a hold of us and say, do not be disturbed. Do not be affected by these outside things. But that's so hard,
isn't it?
So hard. I just want to be honest. This message is kind of difficult for me, and it's going to be hard to make it through because just thinking about the things that I'm affected by that you don't know about. And the things that you're affected by that I don't know about. They're serious. They're very serious. And this message can come across as very simple and very almost childish that, oh, we need to, you know, let go of our feelings and these things. But let me tell you, people are wrestling with things of the mind. Not necessarily sin or lustful things or like murderous thoughts or whatever. Just difficulties. Difficulties and burdens, responsibilities and worry. Have you felt that? Man, I've felt that. I wonder if you'll turn with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, and we're going to be starting in chapter 4, actually, at the end of the story. This is something that I was studying, and the Lord just kind of showed me how I played a part in this story. I am Jonah. I'm totally Jonah. It's so funny how like God puts these random stories in and people dismiss them like they're fables. They're so relatable. They're so relatable. And you can see yourself getting on that ship and sulking in the desert storm and all this stuff that, you know, goes on in the story of Jonah. You find yourself in the parables in the New Testament, right? I'm that rocky soil that keeps rejecting the seed of the Word of God. I'm that sheep that keeps running away, that dumb one, the little one, the runt, who just keeps going off on his own, and the shepherd has to come and say, pat me on the back and say, you know, here I am, let me bring you back, right? Can you relate to that? We cannot live a positive life with a negative mind. It has to be addressed. Your life will be a struggle. Your life will be so hard. Your days will be dark if you cannot address what's going on in your mind. If there isn't an option for you to let it go. And that's what I want to talk about today. And so, the story of Jonah is very common, well-known. You know, Jonah was a prophet who was confronted with God with a
mission, right? Go and tell these people that they've done
wrong and ask them to repent or else I will destroy them. But Jonah, for some reason, decides not to do what God asked him to do. And in chapter 4... we find out why. What was it that sent Jonah running from the presence of God, getting on these cargo ships,
ending up in the belly of a whale,
being vomited on the land? Like, where does the story begin, right? Check out verses 1 and 2 here. It says, but the thought of these people repenting, as it happened in chapter 3, right? The fact that God would, you know, relented from his disaster, displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. And so he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, wasn't this what I said when I was still in my country, when you first came to me? Is this exactly what I was talking about? This is why I fled previously to Tarshish.
Here it comes, right? We're going to find out what the source of his running was all about. For I know, or I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm.
What?
Right? Like the little guy here got hit with the baseball. What? Doesn't that sound like a good thing? That God would be merciful and gracious? But here's something. You get this, a little glimpse of what's going on with Jonah and what his struggle was. Because it says here, I know. I know something about you, God, that is troubling me. There's something that's not computing. The logic is not with me here. I'm not understanding how you work very well. My mind's a little off from yours, and I'm not too happy about that. And I'm going to run from what you want. And so the source of his running is in his mind. Can we see that? Can we agree on that? Just a general acceptance of that. There was some thought in his mind that caused him to turn from God. What is it for you? What is it for you that you know or that you've been thinking on or dwelling on that is causing you to not run to the arms of God or not follow him where he leads you? In the book of Jonah, we see that,
we saw that his mind was affected.
But also you see his attitude and the way that he prays, it's out of affliction. And it's out of anger. And when he's sitting under that little plant at the end of chapter 4, he's all bitter and upset at God that he would do certain things. His attitude changes. You see all of his, he makes a ton of bad choices. And a lot of his actions are all messed up, right? So his mind is affecting his attitude is affecting his actions, and wherever he's going, running from God is affecting his circumstances, right? Like his world is falling apart. Like it's just this gradual progression. As he dwells on the things that are keeping him from God, just life is spinning out of control for Jonah. And it's this cycle that we all know about. Would you agree? I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, it's a daily thing. Joe was talking last week in the Lord's Supper. He said, we can't go like one day without having a tough thought or a bad thought or like being down, you know? And Jesus lived a perfect life. He was contrasting like how Jesus made it through 365 days a year and 33 years of his life and really made it through it perfectly. Like it's phenomenal. Because life is tough. Because the flesh and the mind are powerful, and they're very real. They're very real. You know, whether it's questions about God that, you start with saying, Lord, I don't get how you save people, or I don't get why bad things happen. You can be so good and bad things can happen. It sends you saying,
well, if bad things are happening and he's a good God, well, then maybe there is no God. And, I'm all alone, and I need to make decisions for myself, and I need to, go get an education. I need to go invest in all these things and get stuff. Did you see where that started? It started from a simple thought of a frustration with seeing rough things in life. And it's a string of thought.
I can't tell you how many YouTube videos I've found of people who went through an experience at a church and are going on YouTube to make a video about why they are no longer a Christian. I mean, if only there was some intervention there to say, like, you're among human beings, but God has a better way. Other things that can get you down is family life, right? Whether you've gone through a divorce, whether your parents are divorced, whether you struggle having a relationship with your dad or your mom, whether somebody has passed away in your immediate family, it can be a struggle to understand why these things would happen.
I think for the Christian, society can really have a draining effect on us, a weakening effect on us as we go about our day and we're surrounded by people who just think differently than us.
Everyone wants everyone to be politically correct, but let me tell you what, Jesus isn't politically correct. Jesus isn't politically correct. So we are like lost in this world. Like we just don't belong because what our God stands for isn't accepted. It's not nice sometimes. It's the tough truth. But if you're on Facebook and you're seeing all these articles about with different perspectives and so many opinions, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and told me that they hate President Obama, that they have this strong disdain for him. It's Christians, non-Christians, people at my work primarily, who are coming in for physical therapy. They'll just strike up conversation and tell me how much they hate this man. Like, it is boiling inside of them. And you know what? Hate only affects the person having the hate. President Obama doesn't know this guy in Newtown Square who hates him. He has no clue. I'm sure he has an awareness that there are people that hate him. But hate only affects you. Let me tell you that right now. And if you're going to hold on to your hate, you're going to have a tough life. You're going to be bitter. Bitterness hurts. Bitterness is tough to deal with. Sometimes it's the monotony of life. We feel like we just do the same thing over and over, and sometimes it gets lonely. But a string of thought can start with that, where you say, man, I just feel a little lonely. I feel a little bored. There's no friends around me. There's no family around me. Nobody must like me. What's wrong with me? Why am I so alone? Why do I feel this way? You know what? If they don't want to spend any time with me, I'm just going to go off by myself. I'm going to worry about myself. I'm going to commit suicide. Do you see how it starts with just like a little feeling? And this is where Satan tries to come in and devour you, make you feel swallowed up and consumed. We can't live a positive life with a negative mind. We need to address what we're holding on to, what we're dwelling in. The thing that I found that really gives me that release, and it's something that is, it sounds so simple, but really it's not simple. It's very divine. It's very powerful. And it's a tool, it's a means that God has bestowed on us, an opportunity for a letting go, an opportunity for a reconnection with joy, a reconnection with peace, a cleansing. Right? We got spring coming, we got spring cleaning coming up. It's a perfect time, is today. If you can recognize you've got things that you're dwelling on that have sent you spiraling into thoughts that make you angry at somebody else, make you angry at yourself, make you angry at God, or make you just feel burdened. You're just walking and carrying so much weight. Today is a good day for cleansing. And we find that in prayer. That's what we see in the book of Jonah here. What connects him to God again is these moments of prayer. Whether he still is showing his bad attitude or not in his prayer and the way that he talks with God, he really is just letting it all out. I think when Hebrews chapter 11 says, it's listing all these names of people who had faith, and it says the prophets also, I think Jonah fits in there, honestly. I mean, he's hard to like, right? He's hard to like, but I really think his faith is demonstrated in his prayer. And we don't know the end of the story and how much more dealings with God he had. But he was a man who, he would come to the end of himself and he would fall to his knees and beg God. And he would just say, I feel overwhelmed. I feel swallowed up. And I don't feel like coming close to you. And then halfway through his prayer, you see him, like in chapter 2 and verse 7, if you flip a page or two, it says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I remembered the Lord. Even in the darkest hour, even in the darkest hour, when Jonah is in the belly of the whale, literally, probably the flesh of the whale. I mean, I don't know how big it was, but it could have just been big enough to fit him in. Or it could have been, maybe a little bit bigger. but just smelly and dark. There is no light seeping in to this fish. He's alone. Have you felt alone? Jonah was alone. And he's just on his knees. My soul is done. My personality, my being is just finished, God. And he turns his mind to the Lord. And you can see this change in him. My prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Ultimately, God's salvation is of the Lord. You are right. I'm back to trusting in you. I've been letting my mind take control. And my mind is now yours. I offer it up to you. That's what prayer can be for us. And what's so great is that even in this depth, this darkness, and this despair that Jonah was in, he had prayer to run to, which then for him became the enjoyment of God. Like he really was saying, my words are making it into your presence. You're connecting with me. I'm enjoying your company. Even here in the belly of the whale, you are here with me. And I'm experiencing you, even in this dark moment. The psalmist said, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning, if I was to go as high as possible into the outer blackness of space, or if I was to dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. God being a spirit means that he's always available for you. And it's an amazing thing. It really is amazing. I mean, we have this opportunity to not dwell in negativity, not dwell in the things that really are tearing us apart, but to redirect our thoughts and dwell in something else. To continue in God's promises, to continue in his company and his presence. The second half of my title is remaining in God's presence, the need to remain near to him. And that's the idea with prayer. And it's so interesting, the announcements today and the things that, you know, we're going to be doing this weekend. Like, I really, really think we all need to, like, just be in desperation for God. The church is built up of individuals, and if we are individually weak, the church is weak. And if we are individually not depending on God, the church is not depending on God. If we are not cleansing ourselves, the church is not cleansed. If we are not emptying our minds of negativity, you're bringing it in here, and you're bringing it into the church, and God's not having his way. There needs to be a letting go, a release. If you have a notepad, you can take down a couple of these points about the practicality of prayer. Practicality of prayer. When we pray, what happens? I've mentioned a few of them already. We actually step into the halls of the kingdom of God. I mean, if you think about the story of Esther in the Old Testament, or if you think about any of the Greek and Roman kings or the Egyptian pharaohs back in the day in history, to enter into their presence, they had to give you permission. They had to raise their staff, or, you know, if you just walked in, you could be murdered, you could be killed. But with our king, even in the belly of the whale, even in your darkest hour, even when you're the filthiest person in the city, you can walk to your king, King Jesus, and he'll welcome you in. He will welcome you in. It's that access, the ability to conference with God and to let him have your burdens. He wants to do that for you. So number one, we have that access to God. Number two, there's a literal and practical redirection of your thought. No longer are you remaining in this negativity, but you, by just praying, by just saying, I don't know what to do, and God just help me here, and God, I choose you. God, I want to be walking with you. I want to hold on to your promises. I want to make sure that the only thing that's on my mind is the cross of Calvary and the forgiveness of sins and the mercy and grace that are new every morning, and just continuing in that prayer, just dwelling on the good things of God, the joy of God, the Prince of Peace that He is. If you look back, it's been like a half an hour or so since you've been dwelling on the negative thoughts, right? There's an actual redirection of your thought. Prayer is so practical. And God has given the option of prayer to you. To you. To utilize. To help you. To get your minds off the things that are making you feel so burdened. Number three, we have access to God. We have a redirection of thought. And our time is occupied. I mentioned that as well. Like, you just aren't doing these other things. Like, you're just spending your time on something else. And that's sometimes all we need, right? Like, we just get caught up in this string of, like, I really can't decide to do anything else. All that's consuming me is the negativity. Anybody relate to that? I mean, maybe this is a message that's just bouncing off this invisible wall here and hitting me. But I've got to believe that I'm human, that you're human, that we are all in this together, and that God touches on these things in Scripture because we can all relate. And number four, it's amazing because God, once you begin your prayer, once you say, "Oh Lord," once you say, "God, help me," once you say, "Dear Father," once you say, "I'm beginning my prayer," whatever it is, God acknowledges your act of the will. God acknowledges the fact that you just decided to do something else, decided to remain in Him and connect with Him and enjoy His presence. I can't tell you how many young men I've talked to and said it myself, and young women I've talked to and unbelievers I've talked to, whatever it may be, that find it so hard to choose. The problem is making the choice, right? The choice to do something different, to choose not to sin, or to choose not to dwell in negativity. I'm here to tell you that prayer in itself is the choice. Prayer in itself is the choice to do something else. Don't feel like you have to wrestle the situation on your own. To throw it away and put it off and to then go and, "God, I'm coming to you." I'm just going to pray. And the decision has been made. Because I'm entering into prayer, God and I are together and communing together. And now my mind is on something else. My time is occupied. And I'm in the presence of God because He promises that. Isn't that amazing? It's less of a burden on you to actually do what's right in your own strength. Right? That's what we need. We're so weak, right? We're so incapable of doing what's good, what's right. God gives us the ability to speak with Him. And so we enter into this new life. Prayer is in John 15 where He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, if you abide in me, if you stay connected with me, if you say, life is tough and I'm getting all these barnacles on me, there's pimples forming all over me, if I just stay with you, when my mind starts to wander, I'm going to pray. When my mind starts to wander, I'm going to commit myself to you and say, God, you are all I want. I know that my mind has a tendency to go this way, but I choose you." In prayer, God can change you. God, you can look back years and say, "Wow, I can't believe I haven't done that in so long. I can't believe the joy that I've been experiencing. I didn't even realize how long it's been." Because you're abiding in Him. Colossians chapter 3, where it says, "Put off the flesh and put on righteousness and Christ." Put on Christ. That happens when you pray. It happens when you're in the moment and sin is knocking at your door and you speak to God. You speak to God and you commit your will to Him. And it automatically happens that the sin and desires of the flesh fall off and you're entering into a deep, intimate relationship with somebody who gets you.
Isn't that wild? Like, it's not, you didn't do anything. You just talked to God. You just spoke with Him and told Him your heart and said, I'm weak in this area, but I'm going to speak with you until the desire drops. God gives you that option,
gives you that ability to have Him close with you like a friend, like no other friend. When a friend's not there and you feel lonely, you've got a friend still. You've got Jesus. You've got God with you that is accessible because He's a Spirit. Amen? 1 John chapter 1, walk in the light as He is in the light. I'm staying in the light. There's darkness all around me and I often want to step into it, but Lord, You are all I want. You are all I want. There's darkness. Look at what somebody did, or look what somebody said to me, and look what he's done to my family, or she's done to my family, or look what like this person is saying, or what about this doubt? What about this question that I have about God? You're starting to creep in here, and the moment you say, God, I gotta let this go, because it's killing me, you return to walking in the light. Psalm chapter 31 is revolutionizing my life. And I tried to memorize it, so bear with me. O Lord, my Lord, my heart is not lifted up high. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things that are too great or too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, O people of God, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. I will not occupy myself with things that are too great or too marvelous for me. I can't handle it. And praise God, He's there for me to empty it all on Him. He loves you so much. The thing about being a Christian is not just a religion. The thing about being a Christian is not just accepting a few little bullet points. It's not singing some songs. It's an intimate relationship with a friend. It's an intimate relationship with somebody who gets you and you can just complain to and you can just keep focusing on, just walking with. And His power is unbelievable. The mighty miracles that He will do in your life if you just say yes to Him. You just keep saying yes to Him. Believer, it's so hard, you know, to continue in our walk with the Lord, right? I just want to challenge you to remain in the initial yes that you made to God, right? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, if you want to turn there with me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you're going to stay in the flesh, you will ultimately fall apart and you will die. Your life will, you won't be living. You will be dead. You will be a deflated human being. But if by the Spirit, if engaging in spiritual intimacy with God, if by prayer, if by the Spirit you connect with Him, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I'm telling you, that phrase, by the Spirit, is prayer. If you connect with God, if you speak with Him and give Him your heart, you are then in the Spirit. And the deeds of the body, the sinfulness of your flesh, will fall away. Will fall away. You have time for nothing else. The last bullet point that happens when we pray. We had access to God, a redirection of thought. Our time is occupied. God acknowledges our act of the will. We need to acknowledge that prayer is the choice that we're so longing to make, that we're so trying to find the strength to make. And number five is our affection grows. Like when you're spending time with God in prayer, like it's amazing. It's amazing how beautiful God becomes to you. And the little mistakes that people make at our church aren't going to matter to you. Because you're going to be covered in forgiveness, and all that can flow from you is forgiveness. You're going to be covered in mercy. You're going to be enjoying the presence of God, and all that He offers you, and all that's going to come from you is those same things. Church is not holy people getting together. Church is not perfect people getting together. I mean, positionally, I know I'm going to hear something about that later. Positionally, in Christ, we are made clean and perfect and holy. We have access to God. Praise Him, right? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are washed and we have been made holy. He says it. It's crazy, a crazy thought. But let me tell you, I mean, we're all going to struggle. You're going to point those things out in somebody else? Are you going to point them out in yourself? Are you going to create distance with you and God because you just can't get over them and you can't release them? Or are you going to pray? You're going to say, God,
like, let me just be real with you, because I'm no good at this life thing. And the guy over there, he doesn't look pretty good at it either. But I'm going to pray for him, because he needs some help.
And maybe through that prayer, the negative thoughts he had towards them cause you to call them.
What?
Call them? Man. Or knock on their door and say, ding dong, I've got a meal for you, and can I pray for you while I'm here? If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We need some life here. We need some prayer here. We need some agonizing with God.
I had it written here somewhere. I wanted to remember this verse. Oh yeah, Job 7:11. Job's a great guy if you want to look at prayer. But he's in Job 7:11. It says that he gave the anguish of his soul.
The anguish, like he was messed up. He was hurting. And he gave it to God.
Walking in the Spirit happens the same way that we receive the Spirit, right? When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you pray to God, don't you?
You say, you confess to God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, He will save you, right? Romans 10. Keep praying. When you're giving your yes to God in prayer, when the dark times come, I'm giving my yes to God in prayer. When another dark time comes, I'm giving my yes to God in prayer. When my wife and I aren't seeing eye to eye, and we just aren't like communicating well, and I don't know what to do, like I gotta pray. I mean, why continue in this negativity? Why continue this? Marriages and relationships and everything in churches fall apart all the time because the slippery slope is hard to stop, right? Thanks be to God that He has some intervention for you and for me today. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, continue in your yes and pray. Get on your knees. If you need to do that now, like I'll probably join you because I need it now. I need it for today. I need it for tomorrow. Mondays are tough. Mondays are tough. I mean, like, you have all this fuzzy feeling from church, and then you work 12 hours the next day, and, you know, you did everything wrong, apparently, you know, and you're tired. You're just tired. Like, if you're not a believer today, if you just don't get the God thing, but you recognize you're right there with us, and you're struggling, you've never had this interaction with God. You don't really know like what could come out of receiving Him. You are mad at Him, possibly, for things that have happened in your life. Been there too? Don't fight the tide. Don't fight the tide. Get washed in the tide. Get washed in the tide. God and His mercy can just overwhelm you. In Jonah chapter 2, he talks about being like just trapped. He feels like the waves are over him, the darkness is over him, the bars of the earth have consumed him. If you read the beginning of chapter 2, there is another enveloping that can happen in your life. There is another consumption and an embrace that can happen to you. And it's in the arms of the Lord Jesus. They're wide enough for you. On the cross of Calvary, they spread from east to west. And they're just saying, come to me. Lay it all down at the cross of Calvary. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. Our church can't handle it. I mean, listening to the elders this morning, they're saying, we're trying to do things right and we're just before the Lord. I can't tell you how many times they've asked for wisdom. And they're just in prayer times. I mean, they're not going to do everything right, and I shouldn't expect them to, and nobody should expect them to. We should appreciate the fact that they are just desperate for God to do something here. This is a wave that's actually happening in the church today, because throughout the assemblies, they're starting these prayer meetings. They're starting actually a national week of prayer coming up in May. I've read a lot of material. There hasn't been a revival that's ever happened in America or Europe or anywhere that didn't start with somebody kneeling down in prayer. Whether it was a woman, whether it was a man, whether it was a preacher, whether it was a peasant. Revival starts with prayer. Because it's that reconnection with God, a putting off. And you've got no part in it, because you're just talking to God and giving it all to Him. God could do a work here if we fall to our knees. You and I, we cannot live a positive life with a negative mind. You know that song, The Blessings Come Down As the Prayers Go Up. Blessings come down as the prayers go up. Blessings come down as the prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord. Right? Somebody, I think it was Arthur Hopkins, he said, prayer is like two buckets in a well. One is our prayer and one is the mercies of God. You want some mercy? You need some help. You need some strength and forgiveness. You need to just dump all your anxieties and send them up. Get them out of where you are. Start praying. Don't let a mind thing make you sail away from God. Don't let something in your mind keep you from the presence of God. Enter into it. He loves you. Jesus dying on the cross, I mentioned it before, is the ultimate display of His affection for you. Stay in it. Stay in it. Don't let it go until you feel it. Don't stop praying until you feel it. Until it overcomes your flesh and your mind and your emotions. Father, we just thank You so much
for Your love. Father, thank You for prayer. Thank You that You are there. You're in my darkness. And You want to shine the light of Your love in my heart. Lord, I run from You every moment, every day. It's a struggle, God, to just turn to You. There's days I don't want to get out of bed. It hurts too much. I have not found joy like the joy I have found in You. I have not found peace like the peace I found in You, Father. I have not found forgiveness and mercy like the mercy and forgiveness that You offered me. And that's available to me on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, when I'm barely making it. Oh, staying in You and walking in Your Spirit. Just, You remind me of the good I have. You remind me of my children. You remind me of my beautiful wife. You remind me of my loving church. You help me let go of the fact that I don't live by my family, or I don't. Life has changed for me, and work is stressful, and sometimes I don't get You. But You have proven Yourself so many times. You are so faithful.
Oh Lord, do a work in us. You brought me so far. Just preparing for this message has been really hard, and just hearing about people who pray for me. I don't know what's coming out of this. I don't know. I didn't even know what I was going to say when I got up here. Oh, Lord, I choose you. I choose you today, from this time forth and forevermore. My hope is in you. I refuse to occupy myself with things that are too great, too marvelous. Oh, man, they're just too heavy. Bear my burdens, God, I pray. We pray, Lord, if any good comes of this vulnerability here. We know that another level in our walk with you means a stronger devil. Like, he just comes at us. The opposition is always ready when we're starting to make headway with you. And Father, I just pray that your hand of protection would be upon each one that's in this room today. And Lord, that they would see you only this week. Bring them back to Sunday as we reconvene and just revel in your goodness and your word and remember you. This week is going to be challenging because God wants to cleanse us. Satan doesn't want that. Lord, change my heart, O God, and make me more like you. Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. My rock and my fortress, my surety divine. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and I just pray that you would continue to mold us into people who just fall in love with you and know your presence in our lives, and that we would just stay there and just remain in our initial yes to you. Stay in the light. In Jesus' name.